Since we have 5 more minutes, I think what we do is there is this transcript notes, the 12th September 2013, the meditation talk. We have completed the transcript actually end of last year, just before Chinese New Year. So Thursday class, we have yet to have a formal class after Chinese New Year. Because last Thursday was an evening with a Western monk, or a forest tradition monk. Sorry, yeah. So because of that, we don't have the condition to distribute this particular transcript. So tonight, for those who have yet to receive this transcript, you can come forward now. You can receive a copy. If your eyesight not so good, you can take the bigger one. there are two. One is the bigger version, bigger print. The other one is a smaller print. The smaller print is the blue color. You can come and collect, those who have not received. Oh, yeah. You can collect, yes. No problem. You want big or small? Big. Okay. Who else haven't received? Nicole, you want to get a big one? Okay, yeah. okay. So I do, yeah. What about that brother? I think he hasn't received. You haven't received that. This is a transcript. Can. You want the big one. This is a transcript. The talk one. Our talk. You read this one, then you will understand. Put that aside. So we still got about 3 more minutes. So in the meantime, you got any question or whatever that you want to ask, you can. The clang group, I think there are some who haven't received the transcript. Those who are clang. Are you from clang? No. Okay, you all come. I give you a copy of this transcript. You want the small version or the big one? No. Your reading, got problem or not? Small will do. Give to your friend also. Is it your colleague? Yeah. Okay, for those who just came in, there is a transcript here on the meditation for the 12th of September last year, 2013. We were indeed very lucky. The Kayanamita was able to actually fund the free distribution of this book. So you can have a copy free. This is a very important book because the whole two-hour talk that was shared, they were transcribed into written language so that you can take your time to read. And this one is very useful for your understanding of what is meditation and all the pertinent, what they call essential Dhamma that you need to understand. So with this book, it will make my job easier too. I don't have to repeat all those things that I used to repeat. Like mind sweeping method, how to train your mind, how to develop mindfulness and heedfulness. All this, you can read through yourself. Yes. Have you got the transcript? Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah, okay. You want a big one? Same one, yeah, same one, yeah. Okay, anybody else who haven't got the transcript? Have she got the transcript? You have got the transcript? The meditation transcript? Yeah. You can read the small print, huh? Yeah. Okay. Okay. Now, exactly 8:30, we can start the puja now. So just compose your mind, develop the faith in the Buddha and his teaching. Then you pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. There's a Buddha Rupang or Buddha image in front. So develop your faith, develop your sadha. Then we will start the puja. Okay. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. มุสาวาทาเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิสุราเมรยามัจจาปะมาตทานะเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิสาธุสาธุสาธุ Keep your respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Okay. Very good afternoon to all, huh?Actually, evening already, huh? Brothers and sisters in the Dhamma, huh? So today, tonight, will be our first official class after Chinese New Year, huh? Okay, before I continue, I got two announcements, huh? First is, there is this transcript, huh? Dhamma transcript on our talk last year, 12 September 2013.Those who haven't have, you can have a copy. You have it? You haven't. You take a copy. Yeah. Come. Those who have yet to receive it, yeah, you can collect from me later. Yeah. Then make sure you go back and read through. Because this is one of the typical two-hour session talk, yeah, and sharing. And it has been transcribed.That into written form. So you don't have to try to remember anything. Then you can use your own leisure to slowly, slowly read through and understand. The main intent and purpose is just to let you understand clearly what has been shared for so far, thus far. Because I realize if we just only talk, it's very difficult for normal people to receive the understanding.Because whoever who can really grasp at that time, even 10% of what I said, you are considered very good, I tell you. But if it's written, it's different. You can slowly reflect and contemplate into it. Then the understanding will slowly, slowly goes in. Then when you understand, you will do it with understanding. And the meditation will be very different. You will progress very fast. Okay?So that is the first purpose and intent. Then the second purpose and intent is we save a lot of time, Sana. I don't have to every class repeat those things that I used to repeat. Like the essential Dhamma. Oh, all the whiteboard missing. Never mind. It's okay. So those essential Dhamma that we used to have, the five mental hindrance, the five spiritual faculty, the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then the three wholesome, what they call Dhamma, Dana, Sila, Bhavana, which is the opposite of the three evil roots. They are all very important, essential Dhamma. Then the skillful means that we use, to actually train the mind, to decondition the heedless thinking, which we often use the mind-sweeping method together with metta, loving-kindness. We combine the two. Then anapanasati. All these are described clearly there. Then the reason why you are not peaceful, like the Buddha explained, because living beings,most of them, they have delusion. And because of that delusion, they are heedless. And because they are heedless, they think a lot. And their mind is not peaceful. They have a lot of hindrances. The Buddha call it the mental hindrance. Now the whiteboard is up. So on the left are the five mental hindrances. They are all described inside the transcript. You don't have to remember anything.Sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind, and doubt. So these five hindrances, you need to understand what they are and how, when this arises in your mind, it hinders you from becoming peaceful. It hinders you from entering the meditative state of peace and inner awareness. That's why the Buddha called it the mental hindrances. Understand? Whereas the opposite five is the complementary five that will help you overcome these five mental hindrances. And they are called spiritual faculty. Mental spiritual faculty. So the five mental spiritual faculty allow your mind to develop this faculty to help you overcome the five hindrances so that your mind can steer towards the spiritual practice, the spiritual cultivation. That's why they are called spiritual faculty. They will make you very spiritual. Once the five spiritual faculty are there, you are destined for enlightenment. So that shows the importance of this spiritual faculty. In Pali, they are Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. The English equivalent is Sada is faith, or confidence in the Buddha and his teaching. When you have developed a lot of faith in the Buddha and his teaching, through understanding how special he is, and how wise he is, and how wonderful his teaching is, that Sada or that faith will become very strong. And it will give you a type of mind that is full of sada, full of confidence in him. It will make you very composed and very calm. It will help you overcome fear, worry, anxiety, and restlessness. It's just like in life, when you have confidence in yourself, you can overcome a lot of things. You can do a lot of things very well, even exam, in your study, in your career, or whatever. Even as a housewife, when you are confident, that faculty of mind is very important. And I think you hear this saying before. If you have confidence in yourself, whatever you want to do, half the battle is won. Understand not? But if you lack confidence, if you got fear, you got doubt, you got anxiety, then very difficult for you to accomplish anything. So this spiritual faculty is the same. Sada is the same. Once you bring forth this confidence in the Buddha and his teaching through knowing who he is, how special he is, and how wonderful his teaching is, you develop this confidence in yourself and the Buddha and his teaching. Then you will devote full-time attention to what he teaches and develop the ability to understand his teaching, because it will bring forth the condition for you to be free from all suffering. It will bring forth the understanding for you to understand life and to really live life, so that your life need not have all those what they call suffering, misery, so that you don't have to go through all the problems of life. You don't have to arise the sadness, the sorrow, the lamentation, the fear, the worry, and the anxiety, so that you can truly live life to the fullest, with full understanding, with full confidence, with a lot of joy and happiness. You need not worry about life anymore. So that shows the importance of the teaching and the importance of developing this cultivation so that you can realize the truth that he has taught you or he has shared with you. Then the second spiritual faculty is Virya. Virya is a spiritual zeal that will drive you once you are confident in what the Buddha has taught you. Once you see the importance of this Dhamma, this practice, or this cultivation, then that energy, which is a spiritual zeal or tenacity to walk this path, to cultivate, will be very strong. So Virya and Sada, they go together. When Sada is there, Virya will be there to motivate you, to actually keep you moving, to develop that determination to cultivate. Then once that one comes, it will drive you to cultivate the third spiritual faculty, which is Sati. And sati is most important, mindfulness. Without sati, you cannot start your meditation. Yeah, this is the first factor of enlightenment. Without sati, you cannot be aware and you cannot understand anything. Without sati, you cannot be heedful. And like the Buddha said under Dhammapada verse 21, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas if you continue to be heedless, the heedless are as if dead, spiritually dead. You got no opportunity to go and develop the spiritual life. So that shows the importance of sati, leading to heedfulness. So all these are explained in the transcript. That's why you have to read them. Then samadhi and panya will follow. Once sati develop, stabilize it, then samadhi will come about. With sati and samadhi, you will see things clearly. There will be clarity. And when you can see things as they are clearly, wisdom will come to be. Panya will come to be. That is the last spiritual faculty. And when the five spiritual faculty is developed, the hindrance cease to be. So you don't have to fight the hindrance. You don't have to do anything with the hindrance. You only need to know the reason why you are not peaceful. You cannot meditate is because the hindrance are there. They arise because of your heedlessness, because of your delusion. And because of that, you are not able to become peaceful and you are not able to develop the silent mind to meditate. So to counter that, you only focus on the spiritual faculty. And how do we develop the spiritual faculty? That's why the Buddha teach you to develop puja. Puja, just now when we start, we chant salutation to the Buddha. Then we pay respect mindfully. So before we chant, I already advise you to develop the confidence in the Buddha and his teaching through knowing who he is and how special he is and how wonderful his teaching is, because he is the fully enlightened one, perfect in wisdom and virtue. He's not only enlightened but complete, perfect in enlightenment. So such a being is very rare, and to have him as your guide and your teacher is indeed a great blessing. And if you can have that understanding, your faith will become very, very strong. So because of that, puja develops the spiritual faculty. Then when you start the meditation, you train your mind. So all this I explained within the transcript. You go back, hopefully you read about it, so that in the next few classes or from then on, I don't have to explain all these things. So that when we come, we have more time to meditate. We can straight away go into the training of the mind for those who need training. For those already skillful, you straight away silence your mind and meditate. Then we can have more time for Q&A. Then we can discuss more Dhamma. Yeah, this year, like I told some of the Kayanamitas, my nature had this feeling that Dhamma will flourish for our Kayanamita group. And just from the first few weeks that we commence our other classes, the Tuesday class and the Sunday Wu Ping Ching Se class, it has indeed flourished. And a lot of things has happened. Many Kayanamita has developed the ability to appreciate what this training is all about. And they are actually working very hard, diligently, to put forth the daily mindfulness so that they can develop the understanding to improve their life, to understand life more deeply, more clearly, so that they can be a blessing to their own family members, their friends, their colleagues, and all those who have relationship with them, so that they can have blessing to all. So this is something that can happen to everyone. So develop the sadha, the virya, then diligently cultivate, train your mind to develop heedfulness. Then all this will be possible. So this is the first announcement. The second one is, we are going to have our retreat end of this month in Cameron Highland, March 22nd to 30th. You can either come for the first session, second session, or both together. The first session is 22nd to 26th. Then after that, 26th until 30th. The second session will be more on meditation, the silent mind, the cultivation of deep silence. The first session is also a retreat, but there will be more Dhamma. It's a more relaxed structure. So that everybody can have the opportunity to understand the Dhamma. Then there will be notes given. For those who are going, you need to let me know whether you still need the chanting book or not. Last year, those who attended, it's the same chanting book. Don't throw away. Because that chanting book, if we can save, we will donate back to the Kayanamita Fund. Then everybody can rejoice and develop the wholesomeness. It costs about $8 a copy. Because it's wired buying. But this year, that lady who did the photo study said, if you do normal combine, you save 130. So I was thinking not so many copies. So I used the cheaper version for this year, combine. But if you are careful with it, I don't think it will have problem. Then even if you have problem later on, go and do it yourself. Do a proper wire bind. I think that will cost you two something. The combine is about $1 or what. So I will give the briefing for those who are going next Thursday. Then I will distribute the notes too. The programs are there. The important notes are all there. And if you are going, you make sure you read this note because it is going to be very, very useful for you. If you have read it, when you go there, you will benefit the most. If you have not, when you are there, only you try to read and meditate, I think you will lose out a lot of time. So it all depends on you. You make your own decision because it's your life. And this opportunity is very rare because such retreat, I only do once a year. So when I do with understanding and I prepare those notes. And those notes came mainly from the Heart Sutta class. Even some from my own compilation that I did over the years. These are essential notes that can help you penetrate the Dhamma, that can help you understand the Dhamma, that can be of great advantage and use when you develop the understanding of it before you go to the retreat. So this is the message that I want to give to you. Okay, any question? Any question? No question? Then we can start. Okay. So for tonight, like I said, I will not go through the usual instruction. Maybe for two person who are new, three, never mind, they have the book. Go back and read about it. So now I will just give you very brief instruction to train your mind. For those who already know how to meditate, you can make use of this time to straight away go into the meditation. Then for the three of them who are new, I will give you some basic instruction, very brief one, to train your mind. So I will off the light. Then those who already know how to meditate, you can start. Then for those who are new, you wait for the instruction. Okay. Just relax your body and mind. The body and mind must both harmonize for the meditation to develop. So just relax them. Relax means free the mind and the body from any worry, restlessness, stress or tension. Just feel relaxed, then silence everything. Then maintain some form of posture. You can sit cross-legged, then will be better, more useful, more helpful. Otherwise, you can sit on a chair or a couch or any posture that is stable and conducive for you to remain quiet or silent to train your mind for about 40 or 45 minutes. Then make sure your backbone is straight. Then breathe in, breathe out normally. Just relax everything, body and mind, completely relax. You are here to train your mind. So let go of all of your so-called problems of life, worry, unfinished business and all those things. Just tell the mind, not now. After the meditation, I will attend to it. For the time being, allow you to have the space to develop this training of the mind to be peaceful, to be calm, to be silent, to be aware within. Then you close your eyes. Then maintain some form of attention. Feel, don't think, feel. Feel your forehead, feel. If there's any tension, any stress within, you just silently relax, relax, and relax them all. Then you move on to your eye muscle, feel, do the same. Relax all of the eye muscle. Any tension, any tightness, or any stress within, just relax them all. Then facial muscle, do the same. Feel every strand of your facial muscle. Then relax, relax, and relax them all. Feel it soothingly, relax. As you feel and relax, you don't think. That will help you to decondition your heedless thinking. So that feeling is very near your awareness. When you are silent without thought, you are aware. So when you feel and don't arise the thought, you are actually very near the silent mind or the sati state. So this training is very useful. Then if you find that you cannot relax, then we can use a skillful means to help you to relax. You can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. Visualize clearly, radiating a radiant smile. When you can do that, that smile, that joy, will naturally relax your facial muscle and make you feel good. Because for you to have joy, happiness, you will naturally relax. A happy person is very relaxed. So radiate this radiant smile. Then you can combine with loving kindness or metta by radiating as follow to your mind. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness in your entire being, your entire form and mind. Form is your physical body, physical form. Feel it soothingly relaxed, happy and peaceful. Now, feel the well-being and the happiness within. Then may it too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. Feel it, that there is no physical and mental suffering. Then may it too be free from all harm and danger. Then may the mind state to be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble, and may it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy. So once you are able to develop this metta radiation, you will develop the ability of this mind to have not only inner peace, but you will also have the inner well-being. As you read it, may I, this body and mind, you feel your body and mind, be well and happy. You will feel the well-being inside all of your entire body and mind. Then the happiness, the joy. So this metta will help you to relax and develop the joy within the inner well-being and the inner peace. Inner well-being and inner peace are very important. They are hard to come by. So if you can train your mind to develop this, it will make you very calm, very peaceful, full of well-being and happiness. And it's a great advantage to help you recuperate. Recuperate from your tired day, recuperate from your illness and your sickness. The positive energy will help you actually recuperate well. It will bring up your immune system, as opposed to fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, grief, and unhappiness. These are very negative energy field that can make your mind very sad, full of what they call negativity. And this negative energy can cause your immune system to go down. That's how people develop disease and sickness like cancer and all those things. Stroke. So all this, even heart attack, they arise from stress. They arise from the negative state of mind that has a lot of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. People who are depressed, they will understand all this. So this meditation is very good to counter all this, to develop well-being and inner peace. Inner peace leading to inner well-being. Then when you can train your mind to do that, there will be clarity of mind. Your mind will develop this awareness within, the silence within, so that it can become very peaceful, very calm. So you continue to do that. Then you go and read the book. The book will explain to you how, from yourself, you can continue to radiate this metta to all of your other loved ones. All of those that have relationship with you. Your Kayana Mitas, your Dhamma friends, your friends, and all beings throughout the entire existence. Then after that, you silence your mind. Then you bring your attention back to your facial muscle. Relax every part. Then feel your neck. Relax. Feel your shoulder. Relax. Feel your hand. Relax every part within. Then return to shoulder. Then you move your attention down to your heart area or your chest area. Do the same. Silence your mind. Feel. And just relax every part. For those who have already trained their mind, have the ability to develop a stable mindfulness. When you stay at the heart, when you silence your mind, you will be able to detect any vibration that is within or your heartbeat. So when you can do that, you just continue to silence your mind and just feel or aware of that heartbeat or that vibration that arises from any part within your heart area. Then you continue to relax and develop this awareness within and silence your mind. If your mind can anchor to this heartbeat or vibration, it can also develop sati. It can also be your object of meditation to train the mind. And you will realize you become very quiet very fast, silent very fast. But the moment you are aware, you cannot think. And awareness brings you back to the moment. And when you can decondition your heedless thinking, this mind will settle down and become very quiet, very peaceful, and very silent. So for those who can do that, you should try. Whenever that anapanasati has become very quiet, very peaceful, very subtle, then you just move your attention down to your heart area and just anchor it there. Silence your mind and just anchor it there. Then later on, after a while, even this object of meditation that you use as an anchor at the heart, you can let go of it finally because you don't really need it. When the mind has entered sati, when the mind has developed the higher awareness or mindfulness, when it can become aware without having any object of meditation or anchoring of the mind, then you have progressed well. Then during that time, wherever your mind is, it will have clarity. The mindfulness will be very clear. Then it will understand whatever that arises and pass away, moment to moment, at every sense door consciousness. It can also bring about understanding of who you are, what you are, what this form and mind is, what this human being is, why the Buddha described the five aggregate, the two aspects of it, you will come to understand very clearly. Then how this five aggregate of form and mind arise and pass away, how through delusion you stir this mind and cause the aggregate of mind to become what it is, how the evil roots come to be, how the hindrance come to be, how the mind entangles itself through delusion or sakayadity that condition you to deludedly grasp and cling on to this five aggregate of form and mind, the mental five aggregate, that condition your mental suffering. All this you will come to know. Then you will witness the dependent origination within your own form and mind too. Then later on, as you bring forth this stable mind that is trained into the daily mindfulness, you can also use it to develop the understanding, the wisdom that is needed for you to awaken. Then you can silence your mind to allow it to insight into all the characteristics of every phenomena. Yeah. The three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, and non-self, they will arise naturally. So this training is very important. Yeah? So after you have developed this ability, your meditation will progress very fast. Yeah? Then coming back to those who are new, when you feel your heart area, if you cannot detect anything, it's okay. You just relax every part, like you relax your forehead, relax every part. Then you move your attention to your stomach, feel, relax, don't think. You move it down to your abdomen, do the same. Silence your mind, just feel and relax every part. Then you feel your leg, relax every part. Then you feel your buttock, relax every part. Then you reverse the whole sweeping back from buttock, relax, leg, feel, relax. Abdomen, feel, relax. Stomach, do the same. Then your heart, feel, relax. Then shoulder, hand, back to shoulder. Neck, facial muscle, feel and relax. Then eye muscle, forehead. Once you have developed one full cycle, you will be more quiet, more calm and more peaceful. And then you train your mind to stabilize this silent mind, this awareness within. You need to anchor it to something because initially, if you don't have a meditation object to anchor this mind, it will wander off, it will think very fast. It becomes heedless very fast. So you can follow what the Buddha recommends, anapanasati. I will teach you how to develop anapanasati. Anapanasati is mindfulness of the in and out breath. Anapana is in and out breath. Sati is mindfulness. So anapanasati is mindfulness of this in and out breath. So just like how you train your mind using the mind sweeping method, instead of now maintain attention at the forehead or your facial muscle, now you maintain awareness or attention at your nostril, in front of your nostril. You just silence your mind and feel. Then because you have to breathe to be alive. So the Buddha say breathing in, you are aware. Means the mind when it can be aware or detect the breathing. The mind and the breath move as one without thought. And that is anapanasati. Then breathing in, the mind is aware. So just allow this mind to be relaxed and silently aware. Maintain attention of the breathing. Once you detect the breathing, just allow the mind to follow it, moving in and out. So that is anapanasati. But initially, because you are not skillful, you are not trained, you are new, your mind will wander off very fast, lost in thought. You are hardly mindful of this breathing. It's okay. Every time it wanders off, you just patiently bring it back. Maintain awareness at that breathing. If you are patient enough, you train, not long, this mindfulness of in and out breath, it will come to be, it will stabilize. Then once you are able to do it, you continue to relax your mind and maintain the awareness of this in and out breath. Then you will become very peaceful, very quiet and very calm. Because the mind that is aware or develop the silent mind that is in sati or mindfulness is without thought. And the mind that is without thought is very peaceful. It's just aware and silent. It will develop more and more peace within. Then there is a spiritual joy or spiritual rapture that they call piti. And this can be experienced by most people, even people who are very new. If you are patient enough, you can train your mind to be silent, peaceful and quiet. This piti will arise. When piti arises, you will feel very good. And this type of peace is very useful because it's very difficult to come by. For normal people, their joy, their happiness is mainly worldly joy, worldly happiness. And seldom do they experience this type of spiritual calmness, spiritual peace within, inner peace within. What they experience is just a happy mind, a mind that is not disturbed. But the inner peace, the spiritual peace, is different. The spiritual joy that you experience after training your mind is very different. Yeah. So once you are able to do that, you will like to meditate and you will know the big difference between inner peace and the worldly agitated mind. Once you are able to develop inner peace, you will like to meditate and you will continue to train your mind. Yeah. So be patient. Huh? So I will allow you to do this anapanasati. Yeah? You just train your mind. Then you continue to relax and silent. Yeah, until you become very quiet, very calm, very peaceful. Yeah. Then I will ring the bell after about 20 minutes. Yeah. Then we will start our second session. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, you can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed. Because these are the mind state that you need to train your mind. The important part of meditation is to develop sati, the first factor of enlightenment. Like I explained earlier on, sati is very important. Sati is mindfulness. Without sati, you cannot be heedful. Without sati, you cannot meditate. Without sati, you cannot investigate the Dhamma. And without sati, you cannot cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, especially the Four Foundations of Mindfulness. And without sati, you cannot see your mental intention behind all your action, speech, and thought process. So without sati, there is no understanding of what is going on. Without sati, you are like blind. You cannot understand truth. You cannot understand the reality of this form of mind. Because sati is a quality of mind that is totally the reverse of the mundane mind, the thinking mind. Our thinking mind, the mundane mind, arises because of this true mind. So sati is the quality that can be aware of all this arising of the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the thought process, the aggregates of mind. All of your Vedanas, Sanya, Sankara, and Vijnanam, the four aggregates of mind, or the content of consciousness, they arise and they pass away because of nature's condition. Because as a human being, we have a physical body, the Buddha said. Then we have a mind, mental part, trapped inside. You can call it the consciousness that is responsible for life, that is responsible for making you conscious and aware, for allowing you to be alive. So this mental part or the consciousness, the Buddha subdivided into four more aggregates. He said, your mind has this special quality. It can arise the feeling aggregate. It can feel hot or cold, pleasant, unpleasant, various sensations and mind state. Then it has the power to perceive whatever that arises through your sense experience. You can perceive what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. Then it can arise thinking, activity of mind. It can also arise mental intention, mental states, mental formation, all of your mental planning, scheming, cunningness, even the various mental states of joy, happiness, and peace, inner peace. Then the sad or suffering mental states of sorrow and lamentation, fear, worry, anxiety. These are all part of sankhara. And the mind is capable of that. Then finally, the Buddha said, your mind can make you conscious of things because you have the five physical senses. They are what your body has endowed you. And because of this sense basis, upon contact of mind, it can trigger off the respective consciousness. So with the organ of eye, you can become conscious of what you see. With your ear, you can become conscious of what you hear. Similarly, smell, taste, tactile, and thought consciousness. So because of your sense basis, the mind is capable of arising the six type of respective consciousness. And this is the one that make you see the world, hear the sound, the sight and sound of this world, make you feel all the sensation that you can arise through your senses. And sankhara is the part that can make you understand things, visualize things, come to know things through your perception and all those things. And this is how the form and mind can allow you to understand life, live life, and experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. So if you know how to use it through meditation, through the wisdom that you develop, through understanding clearly what is this form and mind, are they really you? Or are they just a byproduct of your true nature, karmically conditioned out for you to use? All this you must investigate and understand. And when you develop the understanding of it, the wisdom of it, when you have insight into its universal characteristic, the reality of it, especially the three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, and anatta nature, or non-self, empty nature, then you will wake up to the reality of this form and mind. Then you will not be deluded by it. Then you will not be entangled by it. Then you will know why the Buddha, under the first noble truth, summarize all of suffering as your delusion that condition you to grasp and cling onto this five aggregate of form and mind. So this five aggregate of form and mind is what you have to meditate on. So as a human being, the first aspect, the Buddha said, you are born as a human. Your five aggregate of form and mind is this so-called human being. You have a physical form, that is your form, your rupa. Then you have a mind with an aggregate of feeling, perception, activity of mind, and consciousness. In Pali, they are called rupa, vedana, sanya, sankara, and vijnana. This five mental aggregate is the second aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind. And the second aspect comes about because the mind has this ability to perceive through the aggregate of perception or sanya. So it will bring the external form into the mind. So the four aggregate of mind, vedana, sanya, sankara, vijnana, together with the external form, become the five mental aggregate. He said these two aspects, if you don't meditate to understand what they are, you will fall into delusion. You will grasp, cling, and become afflicted. Suffering will arise. So the whole of meditation is to train your mind to be ever mindful of what these things are, what this five aggregate of form and mind is. That's why you need to reflect and contemplate deep into the first noble truth. Especially the second turning, where the Buddha, under the first turning, proclaimed what this first noble truth is. He said there are eight realities of life and existence that all living beings, not only human beings, if you live long enough, you will come to experience them. And this reality, you cannot escape. They are part of life. Yeah. So when you confront this reality, the eighth condition, is it? When you have yet to develop the wisdom and the understanding of it, then you will suffer. You will become afflicted. You will become miserable. Suffering will haunt you. Then the final summary, the Buddha said, in short, all of this suffering that he mentioned, he said, you can summarize it into one sentence, is it? It is because of your delusion and ignorance that condition you to grasp and cling and hold onto this five aggregate of form and mind, thinking that they are you, they are real. There's a personality within. This five aggregate of grasping are the one that condition your suffering. So meditation is to develop the awareness of this five aggregate of form and mind, how they arise. How when you deludedly grasp, cling, and hold on to them, suffering is the result. And through all this understanding, you develop the wisdom to free and liberate your mind, and you become totally different. So that is the gist of meditation. So that's why I said, after you have developed this training of mind to be mindful and aware, you have to stabilize this mindfulness. That's why when you come out of meditation, just now I said, try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed. Not until you can develop the stability of it and bring forth this trained mind state into the daily mindfulness, into your life, you have yet to start the real meditation. And that daily mindfulness, which is the cultivation of the first foundation of the four foundation of mindfulness, the Buddha called it Kaya Nupassana. And these fall under the second and third category of Kaya Nupassana cultivation. You have to develop the mindfulness of the four postures after you have trained your mind to be aware, after you have stabilized it. Then you anchor it to your kaya, either your breathing or any skillful means, to train this mind until this mindfulness is very stable. Then you have to develop the third category of practice. The third category of practice is about daily mindfulness, sati sampajana. Not only you mindful of all action or movement in the present moment, you have to develop what they call clear comprehension of all this activity. And clear comprehension, there are four. I have already explained earlier on. You can read through the notes. First is clear comprehension of sincerity of purpose, why you want to develop this type of meditation. Second is the clear comprehension of the domain of meditation, that this meditation is not restricted to any posture, any place, or any time. It can be done anywhere, any place, any time. There is no restriction to posture and time. Even in the midst of living, in the midst of activity, you can cultivate this meditation. They call it the daily mindfulness. And when you have clear comprehension of this, you will not give yourself all of the silly excuse that you cannot meditate because this place is very noisy, and that you cannot meditate because you still need to work. You've got a lot of duty and responsibility. You need to wait till you retire. And all these are delusion, because domain of meditation is such that in the midst of life, while working, while doing your activity, performing duties, even answering nature's call, you can be mindful, you can be aware, you can train your mind. You can be in a state of samadhi. You can be in a state of meditation. You only need to be heedful, means awareness, to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, the four foundation of mindfulness mainly. So this is the real meditation. So if you can understand this, then cultivation will become very easy, and you will be able to progress very fast. Most of the things are described in the transcript. Go back, read it, so that you can develop the clear understanding and develop the cultivation and progress along the path of Dhamma much, much faster. Okay, so this is a summary of what you need to understand. So formal meditation is just to train your mind to be aware. Then you need to stabilize it by bringing it into the daily mindfulness to cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness, especially sati sampajana, means mindfulness and clear comprehension of all things. So first is sincerity of purpose, clear comprehension of it. Then domain of meditation. Then suitability, clear comprehension of suitability. Relating to the place, the time, and the people. The last one is clear comprehension of non-delusion, so that you are not deluded by the experience of meditation, by all the defilement of insight that will trap you and prevent you from progressing. So this will summarize what you need to know. Now I will open up the class for Q&A, question and answer. You can report your meditation. Then after that, you can ask me any question that you have relating to the meditation, the teaching, and how you can apply what you have developed, learned, to understand life, to overcome all of your problems of life, or all of your so-called suffering. Okay. Anybody wants to report his or her meditation? Any written question or not? Today I didn't see any paper. still New Year mood, huh? Anybody wants to report their meditation? It's important you report, because otherwise there is no condition to explain. Everybody so quiet. They say, Paisei, kiasu. You yourself have to lose. Understand or not? This form and mind, what is there to be shy? Understand or not? You are here to meditate, to develop the understanding of the teaching, the truth, so that it can transform and change you into a better person. If like that also you shy, then how to develop that understanding? Understand or not? If it's something that is so important, you will go all out and find out. And now you got a condition to ask. Make full use of it. Understand? Don't worry about your question. Just sincerely inquire. What is it that I still don't understand? If you all have already understood, then no more question. Then it saves my time too. I no need to teach. No need to share. Then we can go back early. Okay, final call. Joyce, you got a lot of questions.
In the email regarding something you want to share with us.
Nelma, yes.
I think, brother, you have put this. Somebody want to share something with you in the email. You have put it in the email twice. So I just took the liberty to further study. I don't know whether
good.
You want to share this.
Okay, yeah. You lend me, then I can share it. Very good, okay. Oh, never mind. If we can finish one or two, it's already very good. Oh, okay, this one is about mindfulness practice. Okay, this is from my sister. So this one, I read to you. Where is the my part? The email that I wrote. You only photostat what she said. Oh, yours is the other way around. Oh yeah, my answer is at the bottom. How come your computer like that one? Mine is the other way around. The latest email is on top. Oh, you put in words and print out. Okay, I will read to you. Okay, maybe I follow that sequence. I received an email from one of the Kayanamita. She said, it's a sister. She said, Dear Brother Teo, my mindfulness practice or cultivation seems to have moved from wakeful state to my dream state. Then as a joke, she said, ha ha ha. I had a strange response to a dream of mine early this morning today. And that was Tuesday. I replied on Tuesday. I don't know, was Monday or Tuesday. The dream was simple, she said. I woke up and went to the bathroom and then realized that the toilet bowl was missing. Just a hole on the floor and the piping. Then I looked up at the window and they were sealed with grey concrete slab. Then within that dream, I told myself, this is not real. See? She's aware inside the dream, understand, that this is not real. Because these are consciousness, understand. So when consciousness is altered, things can happen. But she has the awareness within to understand that this is not real. Okay? In the background, I also sense panic. The fear, the panic, beginning to rise, and also know the mind is moving away from the present moment. Means she is aware that this mind is creating, understand, projecting, arising sankhara to distract you, to cause you to grasp, cling, and worry about it. That is a good part. And make up new thoughts. That is, there is a break-in. See? When heedfulness and mindfulness is very sharp, you know the heedlessness has come in already, understand? There is a break-in. She described it quite well. In the dream, I also know that the panic is not caused by the missing toilet bowl, but by other thoughts created by the mind. See? This is how you investigate and meditate. Yeah. So I reminded myself, again, this is not real. But I can tell you, it feels so real within that dream and consciousness. The funny thing is, I didn't wake up in a startle, but continue to sleep very soundly. Yeah. After waking up this morning, yes, the toilet bowl is still there, but no water. Water rationing. Yeah. I further wondered, why toilet bowl? Maybe to remind myself that everything I own is like this toilet bowl. Contains nothing but stuff to be discarded. So this part is what she thinks. Then I wrote to her. I said, sadhu to you for your ability to be aware to a certain extent while in the dream. But this is not the real sati that went in yet. The real sati went in very different. I'll describe to you later. To a certain extent, I read again. Sadhu to you for your ability to be aware to a certain extent while in your dream state. What you experience is quite normal, but in inverted comma, as you progress along the path of mindfulness cultivation. All this can happen. That's why I tell you, if you cannot develop all this, if nobody can go through all this, then there is no condition for me to explain, understand? What I have shared with you is only a very, very small fraction of what I understand and realize. But there is no condition, because those things are not relevant now, because it's beyond you to understand. But as people develop the cultivation and the condition arise, they write to me or they ask questions. And then I can explain and I can share with you further. And this one can help a lot of people. Because a lot of people don't understand. They thought this is nothing to do with meditation. It's a dream, understand? But you will be shocked when you understand how mindfulness can develop the understanding of everything that happened to you. I will proceed further. What you experience is quite normal as you progress along the path of mindfulness cultivation. Because initially it will be like this for you to develop certain understanding so that the penetrative wisdom can arise later on as you progress. Then I describe. Later on, as your mindfulness becomes more stable, you will know how the mind create dream state. Understand? You will understand it. You will see it. And you will also know how you enter that dream state, the consciousness. And you will also know that you are dreaming within that altered consciousness. And all this can be like so real. But then, finally, when you understand through your insight, through your meditation, they are just altered state of consciousness, hence unreal. Then there will be no more fear even while in those dream state. Even within those dream state, your understanding, your wisdom will be there. And they cannot delude you anymore. Because some of this altered consciousness is to set up conditions to test you, to allow you to enter the abyss. And if you cannot pass, it will continue to haunt you. It's just like those that have childhood phobia or fear or certain thing that happened to your life, understand? Then you constantly have nightmare, dreaming of the same thing. Yeah. That is, in a way, quite similar. But this one is your fear, your phobia. But the other one, the spiritual one, is they come and test you. As long as you cannot develop the understanding, you will fail. And when you fail, they will continue to test you. Then you will develop the understanding finally when you are able to break free. Then after that, that state that dream state never appear anymore because you have developed the understanding. And no need to test you anymore. That another state will arise. Similarly, what you experience in this present world of ours, which is just another consciousness experience, is also not so real. I use the word not so real because it is not a dream state of altered consciousness, understand or not? Because in this world, you realize we come with a vehicle, understand or not? This form and mind. And this form and mind, you got external form, understand or not? Although life is just consciousness, mind make are there, no reality. But there is such thing as this physical form, understand? This rigid form, understand? Where there are conditions arising. When there is condition, it's there, understand? And it can be very real. But when you are in the dream state, the auto state of consciousness, I tell you, they are also as real as what this thing is. But you know it's a dream. Because when you wake up, you are back to this world, understand? Because I tested it. I knew how my mind went in and go through that dream state, that altered consciousness. Then when I was inside there, I knew this is not the real world. This is a consciousness, altered state of consciousness. But it's so real. You know how I test it or not? I test it like I'm in this world. I feel the floor. Exactly like in this world. I knock at the table there. That rigidity, everything, exactly the same. But I know it's all maintained by consciousness. The moment this consciousness ceases, that dream ceases. The whole thing disappears. That's why I know it's not real. But yet, when you are there, it is so real. And the funny thing is, when I'm there, I can levitate. I can do a lot of things. But when I'm back here, I cannot. Then I check. I say, next time I go into those states, I want to find out how. Then I check, you know, how I levitate. You know. And really, you know, inside that altered state, you can do it. You know. That's why there are a lot of things to consciousness that you can find out, investigate, and learn. And this is all possible because of mindfulness, because of meditation. And you can go in and come out. Then you know what is death. Who died? What died? What consciousness is, how it sees and come out from this form. Then how it re-enter and become a conscious being again. All these are possible. You don't have to die in order to experience death. That's why you know no one died. Nothing died. It's just consciousness. Understand? So all this is what mind is capable of. So if you train, your mind will become very different, very powerful. Then, where does it end? No ending one. Oh, yeah. Okay, I read on. Similarly, what you experience in this present world of ours, which is just another consciousness experience, are also not so real. And you will understand it when you have developed the wisdom via your direct seeing. You have to penetrate the direct seeing, the insight, into the three characteristics of nature. And because we rely only on our five basic senses and mundane mind's perception, we can be deceived by what we see if we had not developed the wisdom to realize the three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, and non-self or empty nature of existence. Then, the end. I also don't know what happened after that. But it's printed at the end. Okay, then there is another part. Krishnamurti on. Your own note? Want to read or not? As long as the self is active, there must be sorrow. Yeah, this was what J. Krishnamurti wrote, and I sent it to you, isn't it? This is not yours. This is J. Krishnamurti. J. Krishnamurti. It's okay. Oh, the other one is your own one. No, God, the creative beauty inside. Oh, that one is Krishnamurti. Okay. Very good. So, this is one of it. Okay, before we continue, I want to read to you this Heart Sutta Note 22. You see, you were so lucky, you know. This morning I sent the notes for photostating and printing. They wanted to do a combine. Then somehow they come to this Heart Sutta 22 and 23. That lady who was doing the combine make a mistake and damage these few pages. The printing at the side, I think something went wrong. Then because of that, she got to re-photostat the master. Then she said, give this back to the client. So I was still there with my wife. So I received this. Well, then I look at it. Wow, these are really gems. I will read to you, then you understand. 22nd Heart Sutta Notes at Wuping Jingse. Short notes taking to assist in the developing of a clearer understanding and better understanding of the Heart Sutta. Explanation and recap of the previous lesson. Listen. The meditative mind must not only be calm and peaceful. What else must the meditative mind be? What else? Ah, very good. It must have sati. So the meditative mind must not only be calm and peaceful, but it must also be mindful and heedful within to develop the wisdom needed to liberate the mind. It is this meditative mind that is aware, mindful, and heedful that can understand how the mind stir and become afflicted via one's delusion and wrong view or ignorance. That condition the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion to arise. It will come to understand its origination factor clearly as to how the evil roots come to be. It will also come to understand that before the evil roots are there, the mind was originally very peaceful. Everything arises naturally via condition arising, and all of phenomena exhibit the three universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering state, and non-self or empty nature. Anicchang dukkhang anatta. Then via Dhamma Nupassana, cultivation of the six internal and six external sense bases, one will understand clearly how to trace the origination factor behind the stirring of the mind and how one can retrospectively reverse it via wisdom. The moment your mind stirs, Dhammapada verse 1 will take its course, hence conditioning one's suffering like the wheel that follows the hood. Understand? Not? When your mind stirs, means what? You react to what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. And what are all those reactions? Duality, like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience, the evil roots of greed and hatred. So that's why this meditation is very different. Without sati, you cannot understand all this. That's why no amount of sitting can free your mind, unless you have cultivated from the past and the condition arise, then suddenly you develop the ability to insight into all those things. But even with that, you need to come out into daily life, mindfulness, daily mindfulness, to develop the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path. Otherwise, it's still limited in understanding. Then I continue. The meditative mind will understand how the mundane mind got caught. With understanding, it will no longer be deluded. Then it will be able to see, to really see, and awaken to all this truth. Then in order to really see and awaken to all this truth and understanding, one needs a very stable mindfulness. Take for example the case where a Kalyanamita's friend had just passed away suddenly at the age of 63 years old due to heart attack. That Kalyanamita said, "Today I'm very sad." So I asked her why. She said because she has been my very good friend for the past 20 plus years. I asked her again, Do you know why are you sad? And who is sad? Who is the you that is sad? You see, when they are ready, when you probe them with this type of question and inquiry, I tell you, they can wake up. So what happened was, as usual, she said, attachment law? All Buddhists are famous for that. Huh? Then what? You don't want to investigate already. You think you know. Attachment law? It's just like, when you got problem, karma law? Means what? You don't want to understand the true Dharma, how to free. You just quote the theory. And you think you know. Then I said, most Buddhists answer this way. And because of that, very likely, they will not develop the wisdom. Because they never inquire, reflect, and contemplate deep into this Dhamma that had a reason, as advised by the Buddha under the second turning of the First Noble Truth. The first turning is proclamation of the First Noble Truth of suffering or dukkha, leading to the Suttamayapanya. Then under the second turning, the Buddha said, this noble truth of dukkha is to be understood. Understand or not? You have to understand it. You don't just answer attachment, no? Karma. Have you understood? You only use the word. Understand or not? That's why here, it is very important that you develop this inquiry. When you inquire under the second turning, yeah? Why did the Buddha say this noble truth of dukkha is to be understood, leading to the second turning wisdom of Cittamayapanya? So the inquiry will enable you to investigate via mindfulness and heedfulness to realize that it is the mind that has been conditioned by her wrong view or ignorance that caused her to cling and attach to her thought that give rise, to her thought that arise via her memory of the good friend of 20 plus years, hence confirming the Buddha's final summary of the First Noble Truth that states that, in short, it is due to your self-delusion that condition you to grasp onto this five aggregate of form and mind that cause your suffering. So the cause of suffering, which is craving or the grasping and the clinging conditioned by her self-delusion or sakkayadity, is the one that caused her to cling on to her mental perception, memories, and consciousness that condition her pure feeling into sadness and suffering. Understand not? Five aggregate of form and mind. Which part of the aggregate caused you to grasp and cling? That's why here I explain to her. I say it is because of your delusion that condition you to grasp at all those memories, understand not? Mental perceptions and the consciousness that you arise. And these are the ones that condition your pure feeling into emotion, which is sadness and suffering. It is only a form of mind. Not what you think, not so real, because all condition arising, and it's not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can cling on to and hold on to and say, this is me, this is I, and these are mine, or this is my husband, this is my loved one, and so on. Do reflect deep into this and awaken to its three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, and non-self to break free. Then you will understand that there is no one to be sad. And also no one die, no one born, no one sick, no one old. Contemplate and reflect deeply into it and inquire, why am I still so deluded? Why can't I wake up to this understanding? You see, when you meditate, with awareness, with sati, you will come to understand clearly what this form of mind is. And you will come to know that it is not a being inside there. And every arising and passing away of this five aggregate of form of mind, mental five aggregate, they are just thought, anasana, and consciousness. That's why the whole of life, the whole of existence is a world of consciousness. A phenomenal world, mental consciousness, nothing more. And it's just thought, giving meaning. And when you deludedly grasp, cling, and hold because you think they are real, they are what you are. Because the moment your mind arises, you become conscious. Understand? And when you become conscious, what do you do? Through delusion, you grasp and cling through wrong perception. Because you perceive through your memory. Understand? Then your wrong view conditions you to stir your mind. Understand? And react to what you see. Because the moment you perceive, you labor through what? Words. And what are words? Words are concepts and ideas created by mind to divide and to cause you delusion so that you grasp, cling, and develop suffering. How does it arise? Let's give an example. In this case, the husband dies suddenly of a heart attack. Understand? So the perception and the memory is what? Of the past, isn't it? When he is around, life was so wonderful. Understand? Then this one is my husband, because legally married. And in the eye of law, my husband, correct, understand not? Got legal document too, understand not? This is how your thought labor, understand not? Through what? Words. Husband, understand not? Then it become what? My loved one, understand not? So my husband must not die, understand not? Must not get sick, get old and die. Other people can die. So there is the attachment. Through what? Through the concept and the word that this thought has created to separate you. Because you say, my husband, loved one, is related to you. Somebody else died. No suffering. We have nothing to do with you. How come when you label it as my husband, my loved one, and my what and what? The egoic mind is afflicted. And this is what Sakyadity is all about. Wrong view. This is how you grasp and cling to the label, to the concept, to the words that you arise through your thought. And they are not real. They are not reality. And when you cannot understand what this 5 degree of form and mind is, then you will believe because it is so real. Understand? Like your children. And they say, not your children. You say, you must be crazy. I carry that guy for 9 to 10 months. And I deliver, no, DNA also can test. No, I gave birth to them. No, they are my children. You know. Why you say not mine? Like the Buddha said, huh? My son, my wealth, my possession. This only the fools lament, means the foolish people. For that very body, or for my mind, doesn't belong to him. And wherein son, wherein wealth, wherein all this possession. Understand? Because you can't even own yourself, understand? Your own for my mind. How can you own other things? Understand? They are no different from you, just a form and mind, a vehicle, karmically conditioned out for you to use. That's why do not deludedly grasp, cling, and hold, and go and develop all the wrong view to worry about it. Use it to live, understand? Use it to develop the understanding of life, and use it to be a blessing to all. Not to go and cling, grasp, and hold on to it and worry about it and develop all the suffering and all the sorrow and lamentation. So this is how your mind labor through perception. So attachment to what you perceive is one of the 5 areas that cause your suffering. Attachment to the feeling that arises after you have this insecurity or unhappiness, the sorrow and the lamentation, is another cause of suffering. So these are all the 5 aggregates. Attachment to that form, which you label as your loved one, is also the cause of suffering. Now you know how powerful the final summary is. So if you don't meditate to understand what is this 5 aggregates of form and mind, the 2 aspects of it, you can never free your mind. You can never liberate your mind. Understand? So the whole of meditation is to understand this final summary, which is the five aggregates of forming mind. And what you use to develop this understanding is very important. You have to use the sati or the mindfulness or the awareness before the thought. Not to use the five aggregates of form and mind to think and try to understand. You cannot understand something that is beyond thought, beyond mind, if you use the instrument as mind or thought. That's why all of thought-based meditation will fail you. Not until you understand that, it's very difficult for you to develop the true understanding of the Buddha Dhamma. So this part is very important. Okay, I have to skip and move on faster. The next part is part 2. Heart Sutta that talk about form does not differ from emptiness. Anatta or empty nature is also emptiness. If one realizes anatta or penetrate the understanding of true emptiness, then one can become enlightened. Once awakened to true emptiness, then one will understand why the Heart Sutta said true emptiness is wonderful existence. Yeah. When you truly develop the higher wisdom, then life becomes wonderful, meaningful. Yeah. When thinking, one is clouded by what one thinks. True or not? Yeah? When you start to think, you get clouded by your thought. Yeah? So when thinking, one is clouded by what one thinks. Hence, no clarity to understand what is happening within the moment, to insight into the truth, into the characteristics of nature. As man can only do one thing at a time, that is, either you are aware and silent within, means heedful, or lost in thought, hence heedless. Living beings are most of the time heedless, preoccupied with what they think, plus all their mind's reaction to arise the three evil roots that they create within their thought process via their likes and dislikes, pleasant and unpleasant feelings and emotion that arise upon contact of mind with every moment of sense experience. Because when there is lack of wisdom, there is no wise attention or yoniso manasikara, and you will not be able to understand. So because of that, you will grasp, cling, get yourself entangled, and suffering will be the result. So in the Diamond Sutta it said, the mind must have no dwelling. Hui Ning understood this when he heard it, because Hui Ning's mind is true mind, and he was able to see things as they are via the silent mind without thought, as he was born without the mundane mind. If you create via thought, then there is good and bad, right and wrong, for you to dwell on. So duality will arise because thought divide via words and concepts, like gender, male and female, race, Buddhism, Christianity, Muslim, or Islam, Hinduism. So gender, race, religion, nationality, right and wrong, good and bad, etc., all these are duality. So non-duality is the doctrine of true emptiness. With wisdom, one can see things as they are and can accept everything that happens as natural or the way things are, hence transcending all duality. That leads to the reaction of mind. Knowing via thought is knowledge, whereas awakening via the direct seeing and the silent mind without thought is enlightenment, which is an understanding. An understanding is not rigid because it is not a knowledge. No right, no wrong, because everything is just the way it is, through suchness or tatata. Then, like the Buddha said, in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness and no one to see. External form comes through consciousness. So do wake up to the reality, to this reality, via the pure awareness, to see clearly that mind is the forerunner of all things and mind is chief. Everything arises when mind arises. Then to return all external mental creation to mind via consciousness. Then consciousness to the pure awareness. Then awareness back to the great void, which is the emptiness. We are realizing the cessation of form and mind to realize Nibbana. All evil is to be avoided. Do good and purify your mind. Develop the enlightenment factor of equanimity, or upekkha and samadhi. To see things as they are via wisdom. Then with wisdom, one will come to understand that things are just the way they are. And there will be no right, no wrong, no good, no evil, no wholesome and unwholesome, etc. in meditation. No right, no wrong, because deluded people say deluded thing, angry people say angry thing. So accept and perceive them all with understanding. When you perceive a life situation with negativity, you will react and stir your mind to bring about suffering to all, including yourself. All phenomena can be returned to mind consciousness, then to pure awareness, then finally to true emptiness. They are not real, all created by consciousness. Hence, the phenomenal world is a world of consciousness, and they are really empty. These are very, very penetrative, very deep understanding. Huh? So if you can understand, it will be very good. And you will get this note if you go to the retreat. Huh? It will be included. Beyond mind, there is no creation and no suffering. Without mind, there is no form, no perception, no feeling, no sankhara, hence no karma, and no creation via mental consciousness. Cognition via mental perception are all mimic. Hence, phenomena and perception are all linked. They are all impermanent and empty. The pure awareness before the knowing, or the essence of mind, which can be aware of the silence of nature, is not a condition arising phenomena. Hence, it is the unconditioned, and also your true mind. But not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can call the me and the I. Whereas the mundane condition arising mind needs sense data in the form of vibration for the arising of the hearing consciousness to perceive it. Hence is condition arising nature of the phenomenal world. Then this part is very good. Oh, we still got 10 minutes. Report of meditation. I often feel peace and calm during meditation. I also feel warm in my body. As I bow and chant, it increases the mindfulness in me. Thereafter, it prepares me to be more effective in meditation. Answer. As you meditate, the yin and yang energy can build up to cause heat or cold to arise within your body. Here at Wu Ping Jing, sir, there is no air conditioning. So we tend to feel more warm. And sometimes we sweat too. Is the warm like rather hot? No, it's quite soothing. Then it is okay. And you can just silence your mind and relax into it. And as long as your mind is not affected by that sensation, then you are at peace with it. Otherwise your mind will stir and cause you to react. For some who does samatha or one-pointedness concentration and absorption type of meditation, they tend to have this heat problem caused by yin and yang imbalance, especially for those who like to play with energy field to develop the psychic ability. The maras too can come and delude them and disturb them. But if they know how to release the energy build-up and come out to normal state of awareness to cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness to develop the wisdom as taught by the Buddha, then they are on the right track. And they can also develop their enlightenment. Then the second question, how about daily mindfulness? Are you able to develop? This one is my question to that person who asked me. Then he replied, I think it's a he, if I'm not wrong. For a while only, because easily agitated and affected when confronted with difficult situation in daily life, then the calmness and the daily mindfulness all are gone. Understand? A lot of people used to tell me this. They can maintain daily mindfulness when they are alone or peaceful, when things go their way. But the moment they have problem or they face a situation, the whole mindfulness is gone. And their mind is already agitated and affected. Because of what? Fear, worry, anxiety. Because they think it's a problem. That's your thought project, and you deludedly grasp. And these are your aggregate of mind. It's only a thought. How come it has power to make you like that? So luckily he asked. And then I explained. You listen. This is very good. Habitual tendency born of wrong view to perceive certain situation with negativity is the cause of your suffering. Is the cause of your agitated mind. The stirring of your mind. You lack right view. And you should reflect, contemplate, and inquire deep into the Dhamma via the second turning of the first noble truth to develop the Chintamaya Panya to overcome this problem of yours. You should inquire, why are you agitated or affected? How does this habitual tendency that caused me to react to such situation come about? You will finally come to understand that it's because you have certain expectation and preference born of your wrong view that condition you to think that way for so long already. You are actually grasping and clinging onto your wrong thought and views and opinion, born of your conditioned memory. Seeing this clearly with your pure awareness, you will be able to quiet your mind, to develop the wisdom and right understanding to free. Actually, it's very easy. You just have to silence your mind. Then you will understand. Why last time when you don't understand, you react and you get into problem? Then suffering arises. Then how come when you understand, you can accept the reality for what it is? You can accept them for what they are. No right, no wrong, no more duality. The world is the world. People are just the way they are. It's only when you can accept them for what they are, even your children, your spouse, and your loved ones, then there will be a lot of peace in you, Anasana. Otherwise, you whole day also complain. Why my husband like that? Why my wife like that? Why my children like that? I sacrifice so much, gave birth to them, gave them the best, yet they do this to me. Anasana. Everything is what? Me, he, spouse, loved one. All the labeling that you create through your attachment and clinging, because your delusion believes that they belong to you. Even your own form and mind don't belong to you. You are born with nothing. You come with nothing to this world. And when you go with nothing. Then you try to own things. Yes.
In the cultivation of daily mindfulness, I just want to ask, because I use this to practice, I can be mindful, in most of the time, but sometimes I intentionally try to be unmindful, and I see the cause of action in the unmindful state. I can watch my either thoughts, body, or whatever. I talk about this is more in action. The first part is, you see, when I want to take bath without mindfulness, I can see that in the actions of taking bath without mindfulness, I can see that I'm actually using a lot of energy, unnecessarily. So then I do it for about two, I don't know how long. Then I switch back to be mindful. Then I can see the difference. This is how I like autopilot. I change. I want to see the state of unmindful state and mindful state that is in the action of taking bath. The other action is, I can see my mind. Sometimes I let it to have a lot of thoughts coming up. And I want to see how these thoughts actually getting themselves involved. And their perfume,
proliferate.
I want to see how. After some time, I realized, This is how they tell the story. So maybe I don't know whether I'm using the right method. I want to see how a silent mind, when I'm in a silent mind mode, and when I'm in a state of
unmindfulness. Okay, I think I know what your question is. Yes. I will answer. So there are two parts. The first part is, when you are mindful, you use less energy. Yes, very true. When you are heedless, actually, you use more energy, and it makes you tired very fast. Because when you are heedless, you think a lot, and they don't take up energy. It's just like you play your game. Until you're very skillful, you're very mindful, you need very little energy. You're very skillful. That's why they have very good stamina. But when you are clumsy, you actually wasted a lot of energy. Even to run, to reach out for the shuttlecock or whatever. You don't know how to train your movement. For the shortest and very graceful, you waste a lot of energy. The way you stop also same. It creates a lot of energy. And you wasted it. Because you are supposed to use it skillfully. Understand? No? To return your stroke. So that everything is just in harmony, graceful. Yeah. So that first part is easy. Yeah. You will come to know through daily mindfulness cultivation all this. How mindfulness can transform you. How when you are mindful, you are heedful, you think very little. That's why you will see the big difference between heedless living and heedful living. Especially you go into a retreat. After a few days continuously, especially our 10-day retreat, when you are so used to heedful living, you realize the big difference between the two states of living. Then I tell you, if you really awaken to it, you will never be heedless anymore. Because one state is so calm, so peaceful, so tranquil, so aware, and can develop such understanding. And the contemplative wisdom keep on coming out. That's why Dhamma is everywhere, truth is everywhere. Why can't you see? Why can't you understand? Whereas the other one is heedlessly lost in thought. Running after this, running after that, worry about this, worry about that. Trying to do this, trying to do that. Every day like firefighting. Worry, planning, scheming. Suffering, miserable. Then keep on oscillating between light and dislike. Sensual desire and ill will. This is how the heedless one function. And they suffer a lot. And they become very tired very fast. And their immune system keep on falling because they have a lot of hindrance. Negative energy field, understand? Fear, worry, anxiety, restlessness of mind. Whereas the trained mind, the heedful mind, is so peaceful, calm, so full of sati, tranquility, stillness, mindfulness, equanimity. The two are world apart, understand? You cannot see this and still don't understand life and refuse to change your life, then nobody can help you, understand? This is what mindfulness can bring about. And it's so easy to understand. Then the second part that she asks is about this contemplative wisdom. How she purposely allowed the mind to be heedless. Then she saw through the mindfulness and awareness how it actually stirred, developed all the thinking, the story, the entanglement, the labeling, and how she get caught into it and how suffering comes to be. This is awareness, mindfulness. But the more effective one is, don't try to even contemplate and understand. You only contemplate and understand when you are alone, silent, in your free time. But when you meditate, when you develop the four foundations of mindfulness, don't try to contemplate, don't try to think also. Just develop that mindfulness, awareness. As long as you stabilize it, I tell you, when the day come, when you really saw your own mindfulness, then you know what mindfulness is. No need to ask question anymore. Because your mind is already mindful, like that. Actually, it was originally like that. Before you become heedless. Before you become deluded. Originally, your mind is peaceful, silent, in equanimity. Before the stirring. It's because the habitual tendency, you react and stir for so long over the umpteens of years that you have been doing this so habitually. That's why you become heedless. Understand or not? And you have to decondition all this. You think it's easy. That's why you need to go into meditation throughout the day. Not only one retreat, two retreat, after that, go back to square one, heedless again. Thursday class, 2 hours, after that, 6.5 days, heedless again. How to learn, how to train, how to become heedful? You need to develop that sadha, virya, that diligence to cultivate, so that you are really serious about this cultivate, so that it can change you and transform you. And it's so rewarding, you know. Not? The moment you get it, not only this life, life after life in the future, you don't have to suffer anymore. Every life you come, you are beautiful. Is it worth the diligence? That's why when you have the condition to be born as a human being, when the Buddha Dhamma is still around, do not be heedless. Otherwise, I tell you, this window will never open again after a long, long time. Okay, I have to finish off. This last part is about Bhayankhati, the four questions you ask to help you free your mind. This one is also very effective, part of the Dhamma, you can understand. You can also inquire to free. We are applying the works as taught by Bhayankhati to free the mind. The work is a very simple yet powerful process of inquiry. It's the second turning. That teaches you to identify and question the thought that caused all the suffering in this world. What is this thought? Five mental aggregate of form and mind. Understand? That's why you inquire and you find out. Because it will teach you how to identify and question this thought, which is the five aggregate of form and mind, that caused all your suffering in this world. It is a way to understand what is hurting you and to address the cause of your suffering and problems with clarity. And now you listen attentively. Her works consist of four lines of questioning or inquiry to develop the wisdom to free. And they are, first question, question the wrong thought that condition you to react habitually and become miserable. Is it true what the thought is telling you, understand? Not? Then after that, you inquire again by asking, can you be absolutely true that the thought is telling you the truth? Understand? Not? The third question will give you the answer. How do you react and what happened when you believe that thought? What happened? You become afflicted in it, miserable in it. You suffer like anything in it. Then, is it the right thought? It's definitely the wrong thought, isn't it? But then why do you hold on to it, grasp on to it, and become afflicted by it? You know how people get depressed or not, unhappy or not? They keep on recalling that unhappy event, understand or not? Like death of a loved one, understand or not? Separation, divorce and all those things. Their children not listening to them, disobey them. All the attachment. This is what your thought tell you. How can he do that? You raise him. You raise her for so many years. Give birth to her. Give her all the best. And yet they do this to you. Who is telling you all this? Your thought. Through your own wrong view. Your own anger. Your own delusion. Because you divide and separate them as children and parents. Actually, it's just a form of mind and a form of mind. There is condition in this world, this civilization, to become related. That's why they become your child. Law of karma already tell you, some children come and demand the karmic debt, and you willingly pay. Why they do this to you? Because in the past, you did that to your parents. That's why this life they do back to you. You don't have right view with regards to law of karma and cannot understand all this. You deludedly react, understand, and become miserable. So this line of questioning can free you. Hence, it's a wrong thought because you are afflicted. And you should arise the right effort to abandon it instead of believing it. Correct or not? The four right effort. The wrong thought that has arisen, the Buddha say, you must arise the right effort to abandon it. Correct or not? Instead, you go and believe it and become so miserable and you want to blame. You say, my children never have gratitude. Yet they do this to me. Logical. To the human world, it's very logical. But is it the truth? Delusion. This has nothing to do with the truth. Understand? If you yourself is not deluded, how can you believe that thought? Understand? You're supposed to abandon all this wrong thought. That's why I say, what is wrong thought? Thought that condition you into suffering, misery, unhappiness, fear, worry, anxiety, and sadness, sorrow, and lamentation. This is our wrong thought. So now you inquire through Bhayankati. Hey, it's so easy that. What happens when you believe that thought? You become afflicted. You are miserable. So what must you do? You must abandon this wrong thought. You should not do the opposite. Understand not? To believe this thought. Then what happened? Hence, it's a wrong thought, and you should arise the right effort to abandon it instead of believing it or clinging onto it to condition your mental and physical suffering and misery. Then the fourth question is the best. Who would you be without this wrong thought? Before you have this wrong thought, you were happy, isn't it? You were perfect relationship with your children, isn't it? Especially when they are young. They grew up so beautifully, then they did so well in the exam. You sacrifice all of your savings to send them overseas. Then they come back, they married, they very nice to the wife. Then they leave you with the old folks home. That's how delusion conditions you to be angry. And anger is an evil root. So here, Bhayankati say, who would you be without this thought? Without this thought, you are peaceful and at ease, isn't it? With this clarity of mind and non-reaction, then we can act following Noble Eightfold Path to resolve whatever issue amicably without having to resort to any negativity of action, speech, and thought leading to the end of all suffering. Then you will perceive life differently and you will know how to truly live life to experience all of the beauties and wonders of life. The pure awareness with wisdom within is so beautiful and it can experience all of nature's pristine purity and beauty. When I was in New Zealand, I can feel that the nature there is so pure and so different because there is very little human consciousness to pollute it. Even the food I eat, my body feels so good and it's so different. Last part, no need, maybe next Thursday if you have time. There is another one paragraph to go. Okay, I've exceeded 10 minutes of your time. Sorry about that. Okay, we better end. So next time you got question, you prepare. Or try to report your meditation. Don't be shy. Who lose? You all stand to lose if you are shy. Understand? In Hokkien means what? Paise, paise, jagaki. Understand? What is there to be paisei? You are already so grown up. Understand? Some of you are granny. Or equivalent to granny. Because Chui is not married. Quite a number not married. Granny. Okay. Transfer of merits or sharing of merits with the devas. We will do the sharing of merits with the devas. Akasatta cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakantu lokasasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power share these merits and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan Sabbe deva anumodantu sabbasampati siddhya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to departed ones. Idang minya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang minya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang minya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let this merit accrue to our departed relatives and all those who can receive them, and may they all too be well and happy always. Okay, invoking the blessing for our nation. Devo asatukalina sasa sampati hetu cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be prosperous and peaceful. May the common of the day, the king and the rulers, be righteous. Yeah? Okay, the last one is you make your aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patia. By the grace of this merit that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Then we end.
Sorry.